W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Chestnut Ridge Radio Club Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? The right answer. I like that answer every time. Okay. Well, good evening, everyone. This is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Chestnut Ridge Radio Club Technical Net. This net is brought to you weekly on a frequency of 146.955 megahertz, the 2-meter repeater of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club. Repeater is located in Alpine, New Jersey, and uses a PL of 141.3, and an offset of minus 600 kilohertz. We hope you'll join the net tonight. This net's a little different than most. It's a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, the natural sciences that underlie our hobby and radio in general. And, of course, it's about our experiences, the things we've done, the things we aspire to do, things we aspire to do again, and, of course, the things we never want to do again. So that's kind of where we are. And it's because of that we expect that people who might not have, you know, questions, comments, for sale, swap, or wanted items to check in anyway, so we know how to manage this net a little bit and direct the topics and might even draw on you. So we do have a couple of things you should know about. No, we check in with our call sign, our name, and then we give, an indication of whether we have a question, a comment, for sale, swap, or wanted item, or, of course, none of the above. And as I said before, none of the above is a perfectly valid, and it's actually encouraged to use that, if that makes sense for you, because we would like your participation. So with no further ado, let's start. Oh, one other thing. I believe the Echolink is down tonight, unless it's been restored. I will check it during the sign-in process. But if it is up, it's K2-Foxtrot-Juliet-Lima. K2-Foxtrot-Juliet-Lima. Anyway, so... station says call signs begin with the letter Whiskey. Please call K2BAR.
Good evening, Gordon. This is WA2UMP, Jim in Pearl River, New York, and just listening this evening.
WA2ISC, Bob, and no comment.
2JEK, Don, with a comment.
Okay, I got three of you. WA2UMP, Jim, good evening. WA2ISC, good evening to you as well. So we have Jim and Bob. We don't have any Jim Bobs, just want to make that point. But we do have a Don, and W2JEK, welcome to you as well. We missed you recently. Hope everything is well with you. And let's see, Don, we'll get to your comments shortly. And anyway, are there any other stations with a Whiskey call?
Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, Randy, Washington Township, with a comment.
A Whiskey 2, Papa Romeo Juliet, Pete in New Milford, just listening.
Keep your call again, please.
A Whiskey 2, Papa Romeo Juliet, W2BRK.
Thank you, Pete. Welcome aboard. I think you're my closest neighbor here on the net. Alrighty, any other Whiskeys?
W2NPR, Hector, no comments or questions at this time. Good evening, all.
Good evening, Hector. Any other Whiskeys?
Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, Randy, Washington Township, with a comment.
God, you know what? When I was so busy getting Pete's call right, I forgot to acknowledge you, Randy. I apologize. I wrote you down. You're good. Welcome aboard. Any other Whiskeys? WE2R Charlie, just listening.
WE2QBC, no traffic.
Whiskey Oscar 2 Tango, no traffic. Hi, Gordon.
Wow, WO2T is back. Okay, so let's see, I like to do these one at a time. You guys are coming in like two and three at a time, and I unfortunately have a hand mic, so recording all this. So, all after NPR and before WO2T, I need you to come again.
WA2QBC, no traffic.
Gotcha, Bruce. Okay. Yeah, boy, I really set my caps lock. Oh, my Lord. Alrighty, gotcha. So I have, so far, WA2MP, WA2ISC, W2JEK, W2S, W2PRJ, W2MPR, WA2QBC, WO2T, who else?
WE2R, Charlie.
Evening, Sir Charles. Good to hear you. Anybody else with a whiskey? Okay. Let's go to the kilos.
K2GFM, Greg and Montbell with a question.
Good evening, Greg. Thank you very much. Anybody else in the kilo?
KC2WDJ, Walter from Orangeburg with a comment.
Okay, Walter, KC2WEJ, I got you with a comment. Who else with a kilo?
KC2WDJ, sorry about that.
Whiskey Delta Juliet. My fault, thank you.
AB2 in LA, Chris, listening.
Hello, Chris. Who is the station to double with Chris?
WI2W, just listening at the moment. Good evening, Gordon, and everybody else.
Good evening, Mr. Steve. Any other any other kilos? Sorry.
KD2IRY, out of Westchester.
Okay, just for everybody's benefit, KD2IRY, your name again?
Mike, and I'm on portable.
Very good, Mike. Welcome aboard. Okay, any other kilos?
KC2ZMA Marco. None of you above. Good evening there, Gordon. Everybody's in net.
Okay, very good, Marco. Good evening. Any other kilos? Okay, let's go to the Novembers.
This is N2OEL. One question.
Welcome, Noel. We got you covered. Any other Novembers?
N8MAR, David. How are you, Gordon? Portable.
Good evening, David. Got you covered. You sound good, by the way. Any other Novembers?
N2ZZK, Bob from Bergenfield with a question. Good evening to everybody.
Yeah, okay, Bob, welcome aboard. So you have a question. That's awesome. Haven't heard you in a while. It's good to hear you. So between you and Pete, I don't know who's closer to me because I'm so close to the New Milford line, so I don't know. I have to plot that one night. All right, any other Novembers? There's a weak November station. You want to try it again, please? Okay, how about Alpha stations?
AC2GI. Rich, no questions, no comments.
Good evening, Rich. Welcome aboard. Anybody else with an Alpha call?
N2NBR. No questions at this time.
Hey, John, welcome aboard. Any other, anybody else, any call sign? Alrighty, well, we have quite a collection of people here tonight. And I wish to welcome WO2T back in the air. I just have to quickly ask, what brings you back, and how's the Southland? I thought you moved. Okay, maybe not. Alright. Well, let's get to it. Don, W2JEK, it's your ball, K2BAR.
K2BAR in the net, W2JEK, good evening, everybody. Yeah. As usual, Barra will be running a VE test session on June 19th. That's a Friday night at 7 p.m. at the Westwood Regional High School. And be advised that the general class question pool will change at the end of June. This is the last test session we have scheduled. I know there will be others in the area that are will be available also, but anybody who's studying for the general exam using the current material should get tested before the end of June. Otherwise, if you don't, you're going to have to get new material and study and get it good to start after July 1st. If you're coming, you need a $15 test fee, identification like a driver's license or a passport or some other photo ID, or two non-photo IDs. And if you are not licensed, you'll need a social security number or obtain an FRA number before you come to the test session. Anyone with a license should be using the FRA number that's printed on your license. And please bring a copy to your license and a copy of that license. And if you're using a calculator, the memory must be empty. Devices other than the calculator, such as iPods and cell phones, may not be used. And I think that just about covers just about one thing. Let me drop it for a second. Anybody who has a technician license or ever took the technician exam before March 21st, 1987, can, and if you are currently using that license, you can upgrade to general because it was the same exam, the TECA and general. The only difference was that the technician passed in 5 words a minute. General test 13. But if the code goes away, we can do a paper upgrade for that. People have other licenses, so as such as generals, advanced and extra, whose expiration has expired beyond the 2-year grace period, can re-up by taking the current technician exam and showing proof of the license you had. Generals will get a general, and advanced people will get a general also, because advanced licenses are no longer being issued. Extras will get an extra class license. If you know anybody, the system could want to be publicized in the AM media, but if you would know somebody that might be interested, let them know that there's an easy way to get back. W2JEK, back to that.
Okay, very good, Don. Anybody else have any questions, comments, confusions for Don regarding licensing or the upcoming exam session?
WI2W.
Steve, go right ahead.
Hey, if there's any technicians out there that would like a free study guide, I have two books that were given to Barra by Gene, K2KJI, and his instructions were to pass them along to anybody that needs them. And they're only, the question pool that's in them is only good for the next month. So if there's anybody on the net or anybody that you know that could benefit from these books, let me know. You can contact me either here on the net tonight or wi2w@arrl.net.
That's a very nice thing. Yes, three. And, you know, that'll be useful material, plus or minus the questions in the back. The ARRL guides are pretty stable, you know, over time, minus the question pool part. So that's a very generous offer. So Anybody want them, please contact Steve. Anything else for Don or Steve, for that matter, on this topic?
This is W2JK. He said this was a general exam booklet that are going to expire at the end of the month.
Yes, Don. They're general class study guides by the ARRL, and they're for the current general test pool, which will end on the end of the month. Yeah.
Okay, fine. One thing, though, I shouldn't remind anybody, though. If you're going to, unless you can cram and study and get it done by the end of the month, keep in mind that as you get this, you can't use this current manual for the new question pool. I've had this where people have tried to use the updated manual, so to speak, such as this would be after July 1st. Where people, the opposite, have got the new material and they use it when a test to take one of the older tests. You have to study the correct question pool. I found that out to be true. Back to that, W2JK.
Yep, I would agree. If you're going to the actual questions, but the technical material is pretty much the same. The way the ARRL presents it, it's the other nonsense that goes on that gets to be a little trickier, like the specific questions that go on. Those have to be out of the current study guide, otherwise you just wasting your time. Alrighty. Anything else for Don? Okay, Don, you have anything else?
I think that does it. Thanks anyhow. 73 is everybody. W2JK.
Alrighty. Very good. Let's see. Greg, your question, sir. K2BAR.
Oh, thank you, Gordon. I guess I'm up first with the questions, which is cool. So my question is multi-pointed. The first part is there anybody here using a Raspberry Pi for amateur radio? And second part is, if so, which distribution are you using? And third part is, what are you doing with it for amateur radio?
Oh, there are a bunch of things that we've been using it for. I've been using the Raspbian build myself, and I think that that's the first thing that comes to mind. The second question is what do I have in the way of applications? Well, a small little file server on my is what I'm using it for right now. I've used it for a chat server. I've played with it as a mesh node. Do not do that. Let me just say, do not waste your time. There is a build of implementation what's that PS? Randy, real quick, what's that PSK31 stuff that the guys in Western Pennsylvania like to play with? I'm drawing a blank here.
What, the Hamchat or the FL Digi?
Yeah, FL Digi. FL Digi is awesome. People do use it for that. You slap a keyboard and a mouse on it, and a monitor, and you've got this little tiny computer that you can dedicate to FL Digi on VHF or UHF. That works out really, really well. Let's see. One of the things you might want to do is look at what people are actually using it for online. But the Raspbian build is my favorite, personally. Some people have used it to set up an Asterisk switch. That's okay, but as Randy and Mark, N2MH, or W2S, and N2MH have pointed out, that if you actually are going to, you know, use it just to set up the connections, it's no problem. If you're going to use it as a radio interface, you need the, need something like a BeagleBone Black, possibly the new Raspberry Pi, which has a lot more power, might be a better alternative. At this point, if I was going to go get a Raspberry Pi, if I was in that mode, I would get the new one just for the extra performance. But it's got a lot of competition out there, but it's also got a huge amount of supported software. So I'm going to throw it in the air and see who else wants to comment about Raspberry Pi, because I think there's probably quite a bit of expertise kicking around here on this point. Anybody?
Comment?
Randy first.
Okay, thanks. Like Gordon, I've got a lot of experience with Raspberry Pis, and, you know, as long as you recognize the limitations, they're great little machines, particularly if you haven't worked with, you know, small machines too much or Linux. Real nice, inexpensive introduction. You can have an awful lot of fun with them. As Gordon said, I've done a lot of different things with them. Put up the voice over IP, free PBX called Asterisk on it, and got that, you know, running, you know, for a demo type thing to learn how things work. To hook up just a couple of phones, and, you know, with modest expectations, works great. Time-lapse photography, it's real easy to get the little very tiny quarter-inch camera module, plug it in, and take time-lapse photos with this little thing, light portable, a lot of fun. Chat server, I forget which version of IRC we were using, but it was a very small one. Little web server, if you've never done any web server programming and you want to learn the rudiments, you can get a web server software like Nginx and load that, and I usually plug that into the, like, a test mesh network if I'm doing that, just so I have a destination go to look at connectivity, so that works well. So they're a lot of fun. I'd heartily recommend doing it. It's a very small expense and very big on education. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, back to net.
Thank you, Randy. Anybody else?
KC2ZMA.
Mr. Marco, go.
Okay, very good there. Thanks there, Gordon. K2BAR, this is KC2ZMA here. I actually use the Raspberry Pi for VSTAR DVAP. I had it set up pretty good. If you want information on it, I actually followed a video. If you just Google DVAP Raspberry Pi, the video comes up. It's about 30 minutes. It's from M3FHW. And it's 30 minutes long. And he walks you step by step of what image to burn and all that stuff, and what, because I don't know off the top of my head what Linux it actually is. It's something from the Alpha system, I guess, and I believe it's out of California. I'm not sure off the top of my head. I was Googling it right now a little bit there. But can I use it for the DVAP? Very portable. I have a battery on it, DVAP on it, and a Wi-Fi on it. And as soon as I plug it in, it automatically connects to my Wi-Fi, or my phone Wi-Fi, or whatever you configure it to. And I use it for getting on reflectors and stuff. And for radio purposes, that's what the only thing I have it on, radio purposes. And I have a lot of fun with it. It's pretty cool, pretty neat there. Via D-Star, so it's really neat. I have actually the D version. Not the Plus, just a regular D version with one with USB ports. And I have an 8 gigabyte SD card, and I actually used it yesterday, so, and it's pretty neat. I just followed the whole video from beginning to end to actually configure it and all that stuff, so
take a look at that if you're interested in that. That's pretty neat there. And I wonder if anybody knows about the $9 computer. That's pretty interesting. Back to you there, Gordon. This is KC2ZNI.
We're going to come back to that in a minute. That sounds like an interesting topic. All right, anybody else about the Raspberry Pi or, you know, the, for Greg's comment? I forgot about the DVAP thing, and that is kind of neat. It's relatively stable. All righty. So, Marco, you got me curious about the $9 computer. What is that about?
Okay, the $9 computer. K2VAR, this is KC2ZMA here. It's a Kickstarter kind of thing. If you Google a $9 computer, it's basically similar to a Raspberry Pi, but it's really small. It's got a USB port, it's got a Wi-Fi, Bluetooth connected, and almost has all the configurations of actually a Raspberry Pi. You could get an adapter for composite video to a computer. So basically, it's similar to a Raspberry Pi. Obviously, you put some kind of Linux on it or so. And it's a Kickstarter. I was actually going to support the Kickstarter, but I think it expired now. Not actually sure. So it's pretty neat. You actually could do a lot of things with this thing. It is pretty neat there. I'm sure you could use it for similar to, you know, D-Star stuff and stuff like that there.
Very good. Anybody else on this topic? Alrighty. Alright, so back to you, Greg, for your comments.
Thanks, Gordon. Thanks, Ned. Yeah, I have just a little bit of background. I have probably 25 or 30 years worth of Unix experience. So Unix is not why I'm experimenting, really more along the lines of, what can I do with it related to amateur radio. I already have FLDigi installed and a couple of other applications like some of the APRS stuff. The latest thing that I've been thinking about was I picked up a USB TV dongle, and I'm going to try and do a little bit of SDR receiving. Wanted to get into a little bit of the HF receiving, so I thought that would be an interesting project. I've been using Raspbian, and I've been reading a little bit about Ubuntu Mate, and folks are saying that Ubuntu Mate seems to be the desktop that everybody should be using on the Raspberry Pi, but, you know, that's, of course, subject to everybody's personal opinion. I was just looking for some ideas of things to do. FLDigi is cool. The SDR stuff, which I haven't set up yet, sounds like it might be a fun little project to play with, and I'll just see where it goes. It's considering that my first Unix machine was a PDP 1123, this is just, I giggle every time I look at this little teeny-weeny thing sitting down there. It's amazing.
You and me both. You and me both, so I understand how you feel. It's pretty, it is pretty amazing, and a lot of fun. No two ways about it. It's just a lot of fun. Sorry, I'm just messing with a spectrum analyzer, which unfortunately I have to give back tomorrow. It makes it breaking my heart, but some things can be helped. It's got to go back to the vendor tomorrow, Boo Hiss. Hopefully I'll be able to get one at some point, but it's only money. And, let's see, what else do we have here? Anybody else have any further comments on this topic of small handheld microcontrollers? Okay. Just one thing I wanted to add, and that is that, for you, Greg, and that is, while you may have some of this stuff already set up on other machines, This machine is so small and so capable of, you know, of a function typically, that it just may be worth your while to just, you know, say the hell with it, leave it up and running with a, like an HT or something, to receive your FL Digi UHF stuff, or, you know, your HF stuff. I mean, you know, that kind of stuff. It really does work well for that kind of thing, you know. Dedicated purpose type stuff. What's even cooler is that you don't even have to put a terminal on it. You can SSH into the darn thing, and I'm sure you know how to do that. You know, secure shell into it, and go for the gusto, and you know, just bring it up as a window on some other machine. That's even better. So, K2GFM, K2BAR.
Yeah, roger that. I booted it the first time headless and SSH'd in, started up VNC, and actually run the desktop via VNC. It's just, you know, it's amazing. You know, the old days, you'd probably appreciate this, from the old AT&T version 7 Unix to where we are today, it's just amazing. So, yeah, I'm going to have a lot of fun with it. You can buy some nice project boxes for it and actually turn it into an actual device that you can carry around and not have to be too careful with it because it's enclosed. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, maybe making it a little HF receiver.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it has enough performance for that, but that would not have been my first thing, but why not? Why the heck not? If you can get it to work, go for it. Anybody else?
Comment,
go.
This is Randy, Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra again. Yeah, regarding project boxes for Raspberry Pis, I've laser cut a number of them out of thin acrylic and, you know, with some modified designs. I know Gordon's seen them. I also cut some reinforcing a piece out of acrylic for the SD card holder, because at least on the earlier versions they were a little shaky. I just mention this in case anybody needs assistance with custom boxes, or if you want to label them with your call sign or something else, or just label the ports, get in touch with me and I'd be happy to work with you and put together a custom case for you. Back to Ned.
Boy, that's kind of nifty and nice. That's very, very thoughtful, Randy. Okay. I think that'd be a lot of fun, too. And they are awesomely pretty. The case I have from you, I used to show off. And, like, the ones that are, you know, shall we say, from the factory, or, if you will, butt ugly, I leave those inside of some other larger project box that no one ever actually sees. And I just use that to keep the card from shorting out on all the other junk in the chassis. So, that's really nice. Anybody else? Alrighty. Greg, anything more from you?
Nope, I'm good. Got a lot of things to think about. It's a fun little toy. I'm just actually shutting it down right now, and I'm going to put another image on there to play with. So thanks, and appreciate it, K2GFM.
Brady, very good. That's, oh, pardon me, very, very cool. Alrighty, let's see, what else we have here? Are there, let's see, before we move on, I do want to point out that this then is recorded and available at amateurradio.tangovictor, usually a few days after the net, along with the last 8 or 9 years of nets minus the first three. So they're all recorded in the archives at amateurradio.tangovictor, so feel free to avail yourself of that. And let's see, I think with that in mind, let's see who goes next. Mr. Noel, I'm gonna do the questions tonight first, guys, and then I'm gonna do the comments, because I think sometimes the comments get really, really long. So I want to get the questions in first tonight.
So, Noel, N2OEL, K2BAR.
K2BAR in the group, this is N2OEL. My question is, there is a diamond antenna, I believe it's called an HRKS, which is a little tiny plate that's about an inch and a half by 4 inches that comes with an adhesive pad, and you're supposed to be able to stick it on the window of the car, or in my case, the fiberglass of the roof, and it has a conventional diamond half-wave antenna, half-wave on 2 meters, and I believe it's 2 5/8 collinear on 440. So it's dual-band antenna. And they advertise it as not needing a ground plane. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, the first thing I learned, or one of the first things I learned as an amateur was the mantra that there are no such things as a monopole antenna. There's always a counterpoise at the very least. There is no such thing. So anyways, they're, if you go look it up in their catalog, they're pushing this as no ground needed antenna. And I'm thinking maybe the coax has to be the ground because it's got to be something else there. So that's the question. Well, the question really is, should I stick a couple of 19-inch wires on the thing, and would that improve it? Or does it really not need a ground? TechNet at Toyo.
Well, not being familiar with the antenna, there are some antennas that do not require a counterpoise. There are some people who feel very strongly that you can even get away with not having a counterpoise on a 5/8 antenna. My experience has shown that that seems not to be the case, irrespective of what the modeling software may suggest. But perhaps anybody know about this antenna or have some thoughts about, should we say, vertical end-fed antennas, for lack of a better term?
WI2W.
Steve.
So I've been playing with half-wave antennas, end-fed half-wave antennas, in the HF region of the spectrum. And you do need a counterpoise, but you don't need a very big one. If you feed the half-wave at the end, you're voltage feeding it. The impedance needs to be accounted for, because at the end of a half-wave antenna, it's around 4,000 ohms, so there needs to be some kind of a matching network. But in a half-wave antenna, the current maximum is in the middle, and very, very little current at the end. So you don't need much of a counterpoise to handle a little bit of current coming back. And usually the coax works just fine. In the case of some HF activities, even the radio and the capacitive coupling to ground gives it enough of a counterpoise for the little bit of current that's flowing. So in the case of a half wave, you don't need much of a counterpoise if you're feeding it at the end.
Okay, that's a pretty good start. Anybody else? All right. Anybody have any experience with on-the-glass antennas? Well, I have some experience with them. They're HD antennas that are now mounted on your window. That's how I look at them. But they're often better than not having anything at all. So better than what's inside the car. So that's my feeling on it. Noel?
Well, about 15 years ago, I bought a couple of antennas from John at Advance. One was for CB and one was for 2 meters 440 that went on the glass. And they were, about an HD antenna, approximately. It fed through the glass with the fastest coupling, but not very well. The diamond antenna seems to be a lot better, because I'm coax feeding it. And just for sake of thoroughness, I threw several beads on it down near the radio.
Okay. Anybody else?
KC2ZMA.
Marco.
Thanks,
that, Gordon. K2BR, KC2ZMA here. I'm on Route 4. I was kind of confused with grounding and all that. I do have a diamond antenna on the Route 4 with a roof mount. And it's a 5/8. It's a 5/8 diamond antenna. And I've been told that you need a ground because the roof rail is obviously plastic, so nothing is grounded up there. So the clamp is around a plastic roof mount, basically. So hold on 1 second. So I was told that it needs ground, and I've told to other people that it doesn't need ground. So basically what I did with ground is I actually put a ground wire in together with the coax and grounded to the body there. So basically I grounded the mount itself, the antenna mount itself. But grounding, yeah, we've got to be confused with that, so I thought I'd just point throw that in there. Probably a little bit off topic, but grounded always confused me with that. So anyway, I grounded the antenna anyway there. Back to that.
Good stuff. Very, very good stuff. All right. Anybody else?
Okay, Noel?
That's it for me, Ed Julia.
Okie doke. It's pretty awesome. I hope that your antenna adventure works out well for you either way. Anybody else on this topic before we move on? Okay, well, thank you, Noel. Bob, N2ZZK, good to hear you, K2BAR. What's your question?
N2ZZK here. My question is about co-phasing on a 2-meter mobile.
Okay.
My question is there any advantage to running two antennas on your mobile as opposed to a singular? The reason why I brought this up, I was on the road the other day and I see an awful lot of truckers running the co-phase antenna system on 11 meters. And I'm sure they're doing that for a reason. Would it be to my advantage to do that on a mobile? Back to that.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you have any idea why truckers operating on CV tend to put antennas on, you know, have two antennas? I'll leave it at that.
Well, I'm going to assume that they're probably running more power than they probably should. Back to net.
Okay. All right. Well, the reason why they do it is because they're dealing with really, really short antennas on two sides of a very large metallic structure that is linear, and they want to attempt to put some of that signal up and down the highway, forward and aft, and that's the reason why they do it. Now, we hams tend to use repeaters. We're not talking up and down a highway on simplex typically, although that your mileage may vary, as they say. So, yeah, you might find some benefit for that if you want to put RF in a particular spot fore and aft of your car, or east-west of your car. Let's say you drive astride of a mountain range every day, and the repeater that you use is up on that mountain range, and you're just running along the valley. You know, yeah, it might make sense for you. It's all good. But personally, I don't think so. Let's see if someone else has a differing opinion. Anybody? W2TTG. Go ahead, Noel.
So, don't forget to close. The truckers try to keep them a quarter wavelength apart, which is approximately 9 feet. And that works out well if your truck is 8 foot wide and you're putting it on the mirrors, you're about there. I heard that one of the reasons was they think it looks cool. And they've been sold the bill of goods, mostly. However, I could see where it will, if you're driving a truck and you're going around a curve, and if your antenna's on the left side and the curve happens to be to the right, your truck body would shield somebody behind you completely, unless you had an antenna on both sides. Now, theoretically, if you look at the pattern of Coulthard's quarter wave, they're an X pattern. So you would probably get out much better forward and back than you would with a quarter wave antenna off to one side, would directly give most of the pattern across the truck out to the sides of the fields where there's nobody, when you really want to get it up and down the highway. For 2 meters, don't have to worry about that, because we can take a nice 2 meter antenna, stick it on a mag mount, put it in the center of our roof, or actually a halfway, it doesn't need much of ground, and put it on a trunk lid mount, and you get a reasonably omnidirectional pattern, which we need. We're not trying to shoot the radio signal up and down a highway. We want it in all directions, so when we turn the car left and right, we still hit the repeater or the other station. So I would recommend against co-phase antennas on 2 meters, unless you were in a fixed location, like a house, and you were trying to reach a particular repeater and didn't want to use a beam. And 2OYO, back to Netflix.
You too, PRJ.
Mr. Pete.
Yeah, we used to run the co-faced antennas on our tour buses because you've got a big steel box and your antenna's only seeing one side of that big, big steel box. So, yes, it will give you some directionality of it, and also the signal bounces off of your big vehicle. You know, our coaches were 45-footers. Yeah, so, yes, it does give you some directionality because... Yeah, that and that big box is blocking one whole direction. So yes, it lets you receive on more directions, and it gives you a directionality on the antennas there. Yeah, we used to run the co-faced antennas there for front and back versus the left and right there. Some directionality, and it's got a big, long signals steel structures for your signal to bounce off of there. Yes.
Not a problem. That's good. That's good affirmative data. Yeah, you did that on CV. You didn't do that on VHF or UHF, did you?
No, I used it on 10 meters and 11 meters. I ran both of those frequencies there. I had a Galaxy 95P, but yeah, that was for 10 and 11 meters there. We ran both with our tour bus there. I did that for about over 30 years, but... yeah, it's good for directionality. That's about it. W2PRJ.
Hey, before you go on this topic, do you remember a guy named Gene Field, another tour bus rider, driver?
Gene, no, that doesn't ring a bell, no.
Okay. When I see his family... next, I'll ask him what company he drove for. But he did a lot of that kind of stuff around here. So a bit of a legend. In fact, he would take time off from that to drive the troop any place they wanted to go. And he'd get the bus at an unbelievably cheap rate for that reason, because he refused to be paid for it. So anyway, all right, very good. All right, anybody else have anything on this topic?
JK.
Mr. Don.
Yeah, with any beam antenna we got is if you're pointing the power in one, more power in one direction than another, it's gonna have nulls somewhere along the line, and that's something we don't need at the moment. I understand the truck driver going up and down the bike or something like that. But Gordon says your repeater might
up, be off to the side or wherever. You're going to know when the COVID is the antenna. The advantage is that I should back to the W2JK.
Yeah, thank you, Don. Anybody else? Alrighty, so back to you, Bob.
Z2ZK here. No, I think that answered all my questions. It was very informative, and I thank you. Back to net, K2BAR, this is N2ZZK. Thank you very much.
Okie dokie. Very good. Alrighty. So there's some comments. Mr. Randy, W2S, K2BAR.
Thank you, Gordon. Got a bunch of little things here. First, an update on the bio-NO power. I got the battery in. Again, thanks to Steve WI2W, who should, but probably is not, receiving a commission on the sales, because he's really sold me and a number of others on the utility of these bio-NO powers. Lithium iron phosphate batteries, very high capacity. Low weight batteries, so they're in. The interesting thing about this is it comes with a high amperage Anderson power pole connector. I believe the contacts are rated for 50 amps, and the housing is different from what we're accustomed to. It's the SB50, that Sierra Bravo 50 connector, and they're a little unusual. Let me drop it. They're a little, they're different from the ones that we're familiar with, the red and black, made it. The SB50, housings are all, in one piece, both contacts, and they're different colors. I think there's six or eight different colors. And the interesting thing about them is that, the red housing only mates with the red housing, the gray only with the gray, and so on, which is entirely different from what we're most familiar with. So I mentioned this. The reason I mentioned this is because I got some housings and contacts and wanted to make up jumper cables for the bio-NO power thing so I could run a jumper cable down to the, you know, the normal 30-amp or 45-amp, 30-amp connectors that we normally use, 15-amp, and plug it into other equipment. So that's kind of helpful. A couple of quick comments. Hurricane season has started, as we all know, officially, so it's a good time to remind yourself to check your battery supplies, your emergency power, and if you have a generator and you have not been running it every month for a short test, it's now a time to do so. Make sure there's clean gas, make sure you run it under load so that it works, and of course with field day coming up, that's another incentive to do so. On Saturday, June 13th, at the Ridgewood YMCA, from 10 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon, there's this half a day on emergency preparedness. So if you're in the area and you're interested in the topic, there's a number of vendors and some lectures on that. June 13th, Ridgewood Y. And lastly, the Arden Project is moving ahead gloriously. The code is in beta test. A lot of new features, so the mesh networking is moving forward. And I got an update recently from Mark N2MH, who did a presentation down just outside of Wilmington, North Carolina recently, and got folks there very interested to the point that they're working with the town, and the town granted them a little bit of money to go set up a permanent paranodes between the town hall and the police station. So the activity is starting to move out all around the country, and hope to see a lot more in this area as well. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, back to net.
Now isn't that just neat? That is just absolutely wonderful. Good. Good, 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 good. Anybody have any comments for Randy? You only get that level of rapid decision-making in our world, with or without the funding part. Anyway. Pretty good, Randy. Anything else?
No, that's it. I'll be at Fair Lawn tonight, tomorrow night, if anybody wants to catch up. It's the business meeting, but before then, we'll be doing some experimenting with mesh nodes. A couple of folks that are new to mesh wanted a little bit of hands-on instruction, so we're going to be doing that, as well as getting them set up, testing some of the features. Back to net.
Very good, Randy. That sounds awesome. All righty. Well, I will be, I may or may not be able to get there tomorrow night. I'm hoping to, but we'll see. The trip is coming, so I have to, you know, figure out how the time element is for my preparation. I also have to make sure I get a really good night's sleep before I leave. All righty. Our next person with a comment is Walter. KC2WDJ, K2BAR.
KC2WDJ, I just wanted to say that I noticed in the world of ham radio, there's many different interests, whether it's Raspberry Pi, data mode, DW, you name it. I always noticed that everybody seems to always have something, projects laying around they like to do or build. They never really get around to it, or they set it up, play with it once or twice, never get back to it. I wanted to say that whether through clubs or through this net, I think people should have other similar interests. Kind of in real life friends, give each other the impetus to work on things. In my particular, I kind of have a need for boat anchors, and I'd like for them. So, help out there with boat anchors themselves, kind of get together and come together and kind of, start that fire under us, maybe that's it.
I would very much agree. That's super. Good point. Barra has a tech net on Thursday nights, as you know, and that's what this is. But they also have a kit night on Tuesday nights, where it's mostly at Westwood High School in Washington Township. But sometimes you will find it gets moved to the community center itself, over in the municipal building in Washington Township, as well in the senior room. So do keep that in mind. And if it's not a senior room, it's downstairs. But, it's run virtually weekly unless there's a major holiday that day, in which case then they push the net off. But I can tell you that if there's a school district or municipal facility available, that kit night is there every Tuesday, probably about 48 to 50 Tuesdays a year. So do keep that in mind. Alrighty. We'll sort that out and see what gives. Let's see. Anybody else have any questions or comments on this point where people get together and do stuff?
W2JK.
Mr. Don.
The group of us on the air is called the Classic Exchange, classicexchange.org. And they usually in September and in January or February, they have a so-called contest, a high pressure thing. But the idea is that you air with 20-year-old boat anchors, make three contacts with it, and you go on and get another boat anchor and make three contacts with it. Those days you had a transmitter and a receiver, so you both, if you make three contacts, those radios are unqualified to use the age of that equipment. I mean, my Harvey Wells from 1951, Griffin's S76, you got a lot of years there. Make three contacts with it, so right away you talk to help. Have some other radios too. Try to bring them on. These guys have about 16 pairs of radios. It's amazing, and they got kind of static switching, like from one radio to the other. One year, twice a year. A lot of fun. Back to net, W2JK.
I'm reflecting my age a little bit here, but I had a Harvey Wells Bandmaster Deluxe which was in my high school ham shack, and that was very entertaining to put on the air. I'll just say that.